Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we had been discussing chapter 1, Arjuna Vishada Yoga. As we had been discussing, this is the story of our life. This first chapter is indicating what we face in life. The symbology here is the Mahabharata war is our life. We are fighting this battle of life every day. And in this we do come across situations which are not very clean cut and clear. That we face situations which we are not sure about how to deal with. And at that time, if our mind and intellect are not aligned, as Swamiji says, one is predominant over the other, then we may come up with a wrong conclusion. Sometimes we talk about this inner voice, my conscience, what you feel right is right. But we fail to recognize that some of our decisions, or sometimes most of our decisions, are colored by our emotions and our attachments. So this is a classic case of how a very intelligent, well-trained person can also get into a situation where you can see things in a very different light. You come to a wrong conclusion, but once you come to that conclusion, then you have all the arguments to back it up. Well, I'm not giving any charity these days because I found out they're all corrupt. I found United Way has the scandal, such and such has the scandal. I have read on NPR, only 2 cents go towards the real cause. So I'm actually not giving charity because I don't feel like giving. But then I come up with the right argument to support my conclusion. And this is basically a mirror to us and say how our mind works. So obviously we have seen how Duryodhan's mind worked. And he was driven by his greed and dissatisfaction. So he saw that, what can I do to make sure that I get what I want? Arjuna, on the other hand, obviously was always very, very keen to get back to Duryodhan. Because they were all princes, the Kshatriyas. They could not tolerate all the injustice. But they tolerated because of the situation. The people on the other side of the army, which Arjuna now claims that they are my swajana, but he also recognized all throughout that they were not there for them when injustice was done. When Bhima was thrown into the river with a poison laddu, when they were sent to the Lakshagra, when Draupadi was brought into the court and was disrobed, Bhishma was sitting there, Drona was sitting there, Bhishma was sitting there. None of them really did their part, what they should have done. So obviously he knew he needs to get back to this evil side who is distorting the whole thing and get back what is rightfully his. And now he's facing the situation. Now we assume that he is driven by the compassion. Swamiji implies he was also probably driven by fear. He may not be able to achieve what he think was easy for him. He has fought battles and he has won battles. But now he sees those great Maharathis who are invincible. Bhishma, Drona, Krupacharya and Karna. And he may have a little fear in his heart that maybe this is not as easy a task as I thought. This combination of a compassion and attachment towards his own people and little uncertainty about whether I can achieve this or not, you come to a wrong conclusion. See, we are sometimes saying, I really want to do this, I really want to achieve this. Then we face the situation, then see the magnitude of the task, then our mind starts saying, well, is it really worth it? I mean, I wanted to do a PhD, but everybody told me it's not worth it. what are you going to gain out of it? I have so many people come to me in my at least profession and say, I was going to do master's in architecture, but then I said, well, the same thing I learned in bachelor's, I learned in master's, so what's the point? That's because they probably saw the enormity of the task to do that and then realized, I might as well keep doing what I'm doing and not do that. So our mind do come up with an answer which is completely tilted towards its tendencies, where we consider that is my conscious voice. So there is a great difficulty for us to differentiate between conclusion reached by my attachment and a true inner voice. True inner voice which tells you what is right or wrong. Arjuna has this benefit of having Krishna with him. We wish we had Krishna. Bhagavan said Krishna is always with you. This Arjuna is obviously just you and your emotions. This analogy or the metaphor used here is the chariot is your vehicle. Those horses are your senses. Arjuna sitting is the ego. And if you give the rein to the Krishna, then the horses will be in control. So you give the rein to your conscious of your senses, senses will be in control. But you give it to the mind, the horses will be wild and going all over the place. So now we keep the Krishna aside and take the decision, and we think it's my inner voice. Krishna right now is silent in Bhagavad Gita. He has not uttered a word. So what we are hearing is Arjuna's voice. He is the perfect logic of an intelligent person. He can convince this argument to probably anybody, except one person, Krishna himself. See, when we come up with the wrong answer, we can convince the whole world that why this is right. Only one person you won't be able to convince is your own self. You always know that this decision is convenient but not correct. That's where we are in Bhagavad Gita right now. We are listening to Arjuna the Ahankar, who is looking at the situation driven by his attachments and fears, coming to a conclusion, naming it as my inner voice. This is what my antaratma says I should be doing. And what does he say? I am now in a situation I can't hold the Gandiv. My body is failing me. And I can't even stand upright. And then why it is all happening, he says? Nimittani chapasyami viparitani keshava. O Keshava, I see the result of all this thing as something very adverse to all of us. I see the wrong omens. I'm convincing why I don't want to do that, because I don't see that anything good is going to come out by my, you know, putting these efforts. Me giving donation to United Way, I don't see anything good coming out of it. Because these guys are going to just, you know, be corrupt people who take away. Well, don't give money to those beggars because they're just going to buy the liquor or whatever that is. That's actually my mind telling me how to come up with a good defensive argument why I'm not giving charities. My argument will be, what do you care? At least the 2 cents are going to the charity out of $1 a year. Give those 2 cents, let the 98 cents go to those corrupt guys, and let them worry about their own karma. You do your part, let the others do. But we do other way around. We take responsibility, everybody's karma. And they say, okay, India is all corrupt, that's why I'm not doing it. Last time we had the argument. That's because we look at the world from a very different perspective, from an ahankar's perspective. Nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. I see everything going in a reverse direction here. I see all the wrong omens here. Nachasreyo anupashyami hatvasvajanam ahave. I don't see any good in killing all these people who are my swajana. Any good coming out of it. Now, up till now, all his life, he knew that these swajanas are doing something absolutely wrong. Now, he was not the only person at the receiving end. I'm sure there are others in the society who were at the receiving end if there's a tyrant who is in control of the kingdom. And they probably had the same argument why he should be put in his place. But now he thinks that what's good is going to come out of it by killing all these people. So one defensive argument, no matter how corruption is going on, I don't do anything because what's good is me reporting my own cousin. So, nacha sreyo anupasyami hatva swajanam mahave. I don't see any good coming out of it. Which is a normal argument we come up when something we have to deal with our own children, our own people who are doing something not right. What am I going to do? Nothing is going to change. I'm trying to avoid that unpleasant situation of confronting him and telling him what is right. But I'm putting it in a way that I don't think something is going to good come out of it. So let's not create this klesha. And Swamiji says here, Krishna is addressed as Keshava. And he says Keshava means one who has a lot of hair, a hairy person. Swamiji says that probably the Keshava is the mutation of the word Klesava. One who removes klesha, one who removes sorrow, the conflict from your life, is a Kleshava. But over a period of time, it became Keshava. So, oh Keshava, I don't see anything good coming out of this by killing my own people. Nakankshe vijayam Krishna, nacharajyam sukhanicha. Now he has to backtrack. You had all these goals of making the society right and I can, but now suddenly you said, you know, do that. Well, I don't want this post and I don't want to be a president of this organization. Because then nothing good is going to come out of that. But I'm not doing it because now it is not convenient for me. Previously I thought I can take care of it. I can set all this thing right here. Let me be the chairperson. Let me be the president and I'll take care of it. Suddenly I see the enormity of the task and say, really, I don't have any desire for name and fame. That's why I'm not doing it. Okay. So don't make me a president. No, I don't want any name or fame. What it really means is I don't want to do the work, actually. I'm not ready for it now. You know? Previously, when other people were doing it, I was very happily criticizing them and saying, this president is completely useless. He's not doing this or that. Had I been for me, I could have done this, this and this. Here are my suggestions. Now I say, okay, now, Neil, your turn. We are nominating. He said, no. I don't need name or fame. Why? I'm not ready to do the work. Nakankse vijayam Krishna, I don't want the victory. So up till now, he wanted victory. Suddenly he realized he does not require any victory or he does not care for victory. Nakankse vijayam Krishna, nacha rajyam sukhanicha, I also don't want the kingdom or any kind of pleasures or happiness or comfort, sukhanicha. Kim no rajyena govinda, kim bhoge ethenava. What is the use of this kingdom? All these pleasures or the comforts, you know. Because esham arthe kankshitam naha rajyam bhoga sukhanicha. For whom I wanted all these things, the kingdom, all the pleasures and all the comforts. Te ime avasthita yuddehe pranan tyaktva dhananicha. This is a perfect argument we come up with and say, I was going to do this, but I was doing all this for my family. My family doesn't care, so why should I do this? Argument is always very convincing to others. Say, he's right, you know. His family doesn't care, why should he be doing? The real reason I'm not doing it, I realize that I'm probably not capable of doing it. You know, all this time, I'll build a business and then I'll do this and I'll do that. And help the society and the economy and this and that. I say, well, people don't care. You know? I was going to do this for my employees, but they don't care. So why should I not do it? You know? These are the arguments our mind comes up with to make us feel good about the things which are not doing right. So he's saying, I was hoping to have this kingdom and this sukha for my family. But look at them. They are all assembled here. Ready to fight. Acharyaha pitaraha putraha tatha evacha pitamaha. Matulaha swasuraha Pautraha, Shalaha, Samandhintatha. Now he is obviously enumerating, just like we will look at this, and even my mother didn't care when I was working hard. My wife never really cared for what I'm achieving, and my son never really. What I'm realizing, my failings, I'm justifying by putting blames on others. What just didn't happen suddenly? Not that he was that stupid that who will be on the other side, he would not have known. So he knew that. How many people are going to be on what side? That's not a complete surprise. Even though we read and say, he said they put the chariot in front of them, and then he suddenly realized, well, this planning must have been going on for months, you know, to fight this battle. They all knew who is going to be on whose side. But now he's using that argument saying, all these people who are ready to give up their life and fight this war are my acharyaha, my teachers. Pitaraha, fathers. Putraha, sons. Pitamahaha, grandfathers. Matulaha, I think we have gone through the previous verse, he enumerated the same thing. Matulaha, maternal uncle, swasuraha, in-laws. Pautraha, grandchildren. Shalaha, in-laws. Sabandhin tatha, and all the relatives. They're all standing in front of each other, ready to kill each other and die in this battle. And therefore, he said, I don't really see any good coming out of it. And with that, I'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.